It's the lifestyle specialist Kenny Burns. You're listening to Fresh to Death with my brother Itchy and SP.
Party people.
Welcome to Fresh to Death. I am half of your listening pleasure. I am Big Phil, aka Northside Itchy.
And I am SP Fresh across all social media platforms. And I will not say the remainder.
You don't have to.
Because we are in a crisis. I've said that last week. On our last episode. Motherfucking crisis. How you doing, my man?
Man, I'm chilling. I'm living, man.
We here. Yeah, good to see you. Blessings.
Blessings, man. Good to see you too,
no
buddy.
No doubt, man.
Hey, man, right now I'm seeing us with a lot more facial hair than we've had in some time.
You see this?
Yeah.
I rock a baldy. You see this?
Yeah.
I'm going to need a barber to get properly edged up, man. But yeah, you.
Yeah, we growing out, man. We ain't looking like Wolfman Jack right about now.
It's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. I'm a different human being, man.
Yeah. I'm letting mine grow in because I usually maintain it myself. I can really take care of this myself. It's not a big deal. No. But I do want to just get the full beard out to its full potential.
I'm with you on that.
Let a professional go ahead and
I'm with you on
sharpen
that.
It up, yeah. Make sure it look real smooth. Yeah. And then I can just come behind and maintain it myself going forward.
I'm with you on that.
I just want to see.
That's my plan as well, too.
I want to see what God blesses me with right here. Just
I'm not
going to
touch it. I'm not going to touch it. Yeah. I'm not going to even touch this either. Like, I haven't shaved my head in a month now.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's what's up.
I'm just saying.
Got that growth up top, man.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
My braider actually canceled my last appointment. You know, she wasn't supposed to be open for business anyway, of course.
Yeah, but you know how.
Yeah, we backdoed this shit. Like, yo.
You know what's still happening across the fucking America.
People got to make their money. They got a life that they have to
absolutely
live.
Absolutely. Brothers in the struggle.
Right. These are independently owned black operated businesses that may not be able to get certain funds or whatever, whatnot. Now, I know the government has been doing their little thing for small businesses and sending out stimulus checks and shit like that.
Yeah.
I still don't have one myself, but I know some help out there floating around, but the help that's out there, I don't know how much they're actually helping.
You have to do what you have to do.
Right.
Yeah.
You still got to work. You still got to bring in.
I knew the barbers was going to be out there still hustling. Yeah. Come to the house.
They're making house calls.
Come to the house. You know, I'm going to be masked up and gloved up. My clients are, and we're going to do this one at a time, you know?
Right.
We're going to do it. Of course.
Right.
Of course.
And that's kind of, you know, with me with the braids too, with my braider. I was kind of like, I'm not going nowhere. I'm working from home now. I don't really have to go outside much. I was like, I actually could just let my hair out and breathe. And it's actually a cool little time for me. I'm like, she holds me down all year long. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need a fresh braid before a holiday or a birthday or whatever, whatnot. And I got my scheduled appointments. And sometimes life may change and things need to be flexible. So how would I look like this shit happening and I'm not keeping my appointment? So, you know, I was on top and ready, like waiting for my appointment. And then she called me up and was just like, we're not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
She was like, I pushed this out another 2 weeks. I was just like, all right, cool.
She said, we got to do it.
It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal, huh? And did you go to her or she comes to you?
No, she has a shop. I go to a shop.
Okay,
yeah.
We ain't going to do it. Yeah.
She's like, we ain't going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she give me the full treatment, the works. I just take my hair down, go in there. She washes it, you know, the shampoo, the blow dry, and then
so
braids
when you take it
up.
Down, it's a pretty big fro or something?
Pretty decent afro. Yeah, it's pretty decent.
I haven't seen that.
It's a little longer than, you know, it's a little long, so it kind of falls a little bit. It doesn't all the way stand straight out.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of looks like, you know, some Mufasa shit. Like,
yeah,
it just kind of like lays down a little bit. It's kind of ill. So I was just thinking about taking my hair down and just letting it breathe like that in that kind of environment for a little bit. But we'll see. Yeah. I got an appointment coming up in a couple of days. We'll see if she calls me and wants to do it or if she wants to push that one out too. Whatever she want to do is all right with me.
Exactly. That's good. So what else been going on with you, man?
Not a whole lot, man. Just staying out the way, really. Just doing what I got to do. I might have a conversation here and there with people because a lot of my work is over the phone. And they'll oftentimes ask me, how's everything going out there in California? Like, how you guys doing? And I'm like, well, I really don't know.
Because I'm really
I'm in the house.
I'm in my house.
Yeah. I'm not doing shit. I couldn't tell you where the death toll is. I mean, granted, we got news media and stuff like that, but I'm working in my house and I'm not thinking about watching the news. And then even when I'm off of work, I'm not thinking about watching the news.
Yeah.
For one, it's depressing as hell. Really fuck you up mentally.
Absolutely.
And then number two, I don't believe anything they fucking telling me anyway.
That's a big thing, man. I watch every morning a little bit, not even an hour, but I do try to stay in tune each morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed, I mean, shit is so mangled. I don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
I check the different news sources. I even read the Washington Post, LA Times, New York Times. Everything just so mangled the fuck up. What's true? What's, you know, that fake news shit is real. At least that's real.
Right now, it's real as hell. I'm hearing reports like, oh, beaches are going to be open tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
At first, I heard Florida, then I heard Texas, and now I'm hearing like L.A. and Orange County. Like,
yeah, yeah, California, yeah.
Like, what the fuck are they doing? Because I'll get a story like, oh, we had our all-time high, 40,000 deaths countrywide over this damn disease. And then the beaches are open.
Yeah.
What are y'all trying to do?
You don't know which one. Exactly. That's,
well, what
that's
I do
just
know,
where I'm at with it.
What I do know is it's usually not the most beneficial to be the first motherfucker to test drive something new. So I'm not going to be in that first wave. I know people are dying to get outside, but I'm a chill.
Yeah, cabin fever is real. That's definitely starting to set in. You know, I go to a grocery store about once a week. And to be honest with you and with myself, do I really have to go? Probably not, but I like to go because I just like to get out just to see how people are interacting, how society is moving. I do like to do that, you know.
Yeah.
And I can only get it so far off of just walking the dogs, you know, in and out the neighborhood around here. I like to get out and see it. And like I said last time we spoke, definitely more traffic on the street and just more people on the street. You know, people are definitely masked and gloved up, but more people are out. And I'm like, well, if all these businesses are shut down, where are all these people going? Are all these people essential job workers? Not everybody.
Of course not.
I know I'm in traffic and I know, you know, I'm not currently working right now.
Yeah. They creeping while people sleeping.
Man.
Is it a lot of people at the grocery store when you go now? Because I remember the grocery store used to be packed.
Not packed, but people are there, though. Doesn't have this pandemic feeling. Things are normal. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
So can you find Lysol there?
I haven't had to look for it yet.
Okay.
But I do need to get some because that can is running low. So I haven't had to look, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
I think I need some more, but I mean, some more Lysol myself.
I know if I can't find some, I know exactly where to come.
I got you, brother. I got you.
I need
you.
That Lysol. I need that Manaka.
I got you. Yeah, man. So what's been going on with y'all, man?
Same thing, Ancillary, man. Same thing. You know, I hate to sound boring as fuck, but yeah, same thing. Just keeping it low key, not trying to consume so much of the media, just really trying to concentrate on keeping my mind right.
I would say I have been fucking with a lot more Instagram as of late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing all these stupid little memes that people are putting together, man.
Are you saying that in a good
people
or a
are
bad
crazy
way?
Well, there are good and bad ways. I've seen some bad
I'm talking
shit
about using Instagram more. Is that good or bad?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's not necessarily a good thing. You become more attached to your device, less connected with everything else.
Yes.
So I'm no different. I'm no special case or nothing like that. So
we're all susceptible to it, man. I'm just noticing like I'm like this kind of more and more.
Yeah. Eyes to the screen, just head down, eyes to the screen, losing contact with the world around me. But I mean, that kind of also happens with this whole physical distancing. You know what I'm saying? We stuck in a house. What else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do? This is our only interaction.
People are posting like hateful shit on Instagram, like
racial type
shit. I see.
Towards which group?
Well, I saw some of our lighter complected friends, you know, doing some little skit like,
hey, today we're making
niggers.
First we have black.
Yeah, pretty black.
Yeah. Next we have don't have a dad.
Don't have a dad? Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have eat watermelon and fried chicken.
Fried chicken, yeah. Watermelon, yeah. That's pretty good.
That's, yeah.
This one's make good choices. Let's see.
There's nothing there. Next we have rob people.
Specifically whites. Yeah, they do that.
Last one is
go to jail.
Oh.
That's amazing. You know what always fascinates me? That doesn't upset me. That doesn't make me mad. You know, I don't.
Nah, it's just some stupid ass little kids or whatever.
I expect shit like that. That's.
But the fact that it's been over 400 fucking years.
That's what really gets
and
me.
And the mindset is still it's there. It's still being down.
They're younger than us. And yeah. they still thinking
passing
like
it
that.
Down. Right.
You know, at one point, I was so naive. I used to think that by the time I get of age and probably the age I am now, all that racism shit would have gone away because I ignorantly thought that younger people wouldn't even see shit like that.
Would be smarter.
Smarter and just, you would have to know that we are just kind of the fucking same. Like, I know you love Michael Jordan. I know you love Michael Jackson, Prince. I know you love hip hop.
Yeah.
I know you do. But some of the same motherfuckers who had Michael Jordan on their wall when he was growing up in the 90s are these straight-laced white motherfuckers who say ignorant shit like that. Although I know that in particular, they were kids, but you got some adults our age from our era that's saying some wild shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you grew up on rap music. Like,
nigga, you love us. You love my style.
You love it. But that in particular with the younger generation who still have that kind of mindset is wild to me.
Right. Right.
It's wild. So, yeah, you're right. I guess it's still getting passed down.
Right.
So what do you think about now blacks and I guess Latinos as well are more susceptible to getting the virus because of all our already existing health conditions? We're not in the best conditions as it is. So now I'm hearing more and more stuff, rhetoric, if you will, targeting kind of black people.
I don't know if the disease was kind of designed to go after people with these underlying conditions, but we don't have to have those underlying conditions, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a diet. And as you just said, you know, we're all people. People are people. We're all made up of the same thing. But we choose to still eat like we on a plantation. We don't. As a people in general, you know what I mean? We still celebrating black eyed peas and cornbread and greens and, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people still eating a lot of pork and a lot of beef and all of that and just eating poorly.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to these types of conditions. So basically, we got to really get ahead of ourselves and change our diet to begin with.
Control more of what we do.
Exactly. And then you can't come up with a disease that targets a specific group of people that still eat slave food or still eat poorly.
So we're noticing more and more no one's going to save us but us.
Pretty much. I was having a conversation with, I did have to leave Essential Business, my homeboy's mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
He did a little bit of work on my daughter's truck. And he's a British cat from Jamaica. He had his homeboy over who was a master mechanic. He's an aircraft mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Jamaica as well, but he's like 65% Nigerian. And we're just sitting there having a conversation. He's just like, yo, black people around the world were just so beautiful. They were telling me about, you know, trips to Ghana and how peaceful the people were in Ghana. Like, nobody gets mad. It's just like, it's like they don't get mad over silly, stupid stuff. Like, they'll let things slide. He was just like, but we're all strong. And people got to realize through that whole slave trade, we dropped off Africans everywhere. It was Africans in, you know, Haiti, Africans in Jamaica, Africans, you know, Jamaica's like African and British.
Everywhere, yeah.
You know, and then Africans in the islands, you know what I mean? We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
And then we just got on the conversation, man, it's been 400 years and the black people in America is still stuck and struggling. And in all these other places, yeah, they're struggling too, like Haiti. They don't have a strong government or anything like that and they won't get a lot of help. Because people hate them because they stood up and actually killed their masters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And took over and had their own society. But all these other places, they actually went against their oppressors and got their own freedom. And that's just something that we need to do here in America. But we just cannot bring ourselves together. And back then in their times, they had to do it probably violently. We have so much technology and we have access to the whole world that we don't have to do it violently anymore. You could do it economically. You could do it through education. You can develop and patent things. We just got to get on that right track and get unstuck and just start to move forward as a nation.
Are you proud to be an American?
While I'm here in America, sure, you could be a little proud.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take your ass outside this country and you say you're an American, you're not looked at as a black American or a white American. You looked at as an American.
As an American. So what does that mean to like not in particularly your identity, but just like the identity of Blacks in America. Because you're absolutely right. So inside America, you know, we like to differentiate what we are by ethnicities.
Right.
Inside America. But you're correct. We go outside. We're just
American. Are you an American? Bumbaclot.
You're an American. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, it makes it dangerous for you anywhere in the world. You know?
That's wild.
You caught slipping, basically. You outside your hood right now. We got one. That's how that comes across. We got one. Getting, man, the way things are going, it looks like everything is really stagnant. Hopefully this ain't the end of everything.
I keep on asking the question, how is this ever going to end? I've come to the grips of there is no more going back to normal. The new normal, I'm not sure what that is exactly. But however the world is going to be, the changes are taking place right now. We're actually experiencing all these changes right now within the moment.
Right, right. Now we can see it. It's been happening behind the scenes for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
But now it's evident. It's right in your face. This is what's going on.
So what do you, trying to formulate my thoughts. So how do you see all this going? What's your vision of 2021?
We're in May now. It'll probably end up being a little worse than what it is right now, in my opinion. Because if this is actually a disease that we can't get rid of and they can't develop a vaccine for the next 2 years or whatever they're thinking, then it's only going to get worse. And then with them opening up beaches.
Especially if they open up shit.
If they opening up certain shit because of cabin fever and people wanting to get out.
Motherfuckers will congregate.
Right. And if it can be spread as easily through droplets and, you know, against social distancing, if we're getting close together again, then that's just going to exponentially infect people. Then it's going to be really bad for people. It's going to be extremely bad. Like, their plan worked. Like, we eliminated at least a third of the population and probably crippled 2/3 of the population. Yeah. And I don't want to sound like the sky is falling and no shit like that, yeah. But goddamn, that's what it looks like to me, in my opinion. Hopefully yeah. I'm wrong.
I respect it. That's very conspiratorial though.
I mean, shit. That's the way it looks to me though. Like,
I feel you. They all masked up as we can see right there. And that's something I rarely see when we watching these little news briefing.
Yeah, so it's we got a screen on right now. And we normally don't have a screen on, but yeah, the news is in the background. What is this, Fox? I don't believe shit that's on the screen right now. This is actually a TV drama. this is your new sitcom right here.
What I'm worried about is just, okay, you heard that Apple and Google are releasing this app. We don't know the details, so I probably even should be talking about this, but it has something to do with tracking if people have the virus or not.
Through the phone?
Through the phone.
Okay.
Are we going to be like, when you walk into the grocery store, is it going to have some kind of scanner that's going to scan you to see check if you have temperature. It, check your temperature?
Full body health scan?
To go into just common places, if this lockdown continues and this shit starts to spread, are they going to get stricter with the lockdown? So if you're caught out after 6 or 7 p.m., you know, there's already footage of police dragging this person off the bus because the person
didn't have a mask. I saw that.
Now, I understand, like, you should have on a mask. You should. All right?
If the disease is the problem, then the lockdown is actually what we actually need in order to get in front of it.
But see, it's separating, like, there's the disease, but then there's our civil liberties, too.
Right.
So are they using the disease, which is real? I don't think people are really dying and being affected. Disease is real. I don't know how it got here. It's real, regardless of how you think it got here. But this whole civil liberty shit.
Right, because Americans' rights and freedom, we'll never get over it. We'll never be able to beat it.
And we never get it back. So they implement all these things for the short term these curfews, but will they ever turn over and go back to quote unquote normal? The motherfucking police pull you over and they check your shit and they see that you are positive with the virus and you're out in public.
Do they shoot you? If you're black and they white, they probably do.
Yeah, man, this probably sounds ignorant. I'm probably going to edit all this shit out.
Nah, it probably, I mean, these are just hypotheticals.
These are just thoughts. These are just
hypotheticals. Yeah. Like, thoughts. What happens then?
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? Where are we going?
But do you feel any kind of optimism or anything? Because you are a positive guy, though. You are. I don't want to. I think you and I both, we're pretty positive guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound so horrific about everything. So
I don't see anything positive at this moment.
What about in your own personal life though? Because like you're saying, as of right now, you're good, right? Are you in a good mental space?
Oh yeah. Mentally I'm A1. I'm good. I know a lot of other people might not be. You know, if they watch the news 24/7,
now
that can put somebody in a really bad, dark, deep, dark place.
Why are you good mentally? Why do you think you're good mentally?
Well,
that's a crazy question.
Nah. Just I got my reasons. Like another thing too. Like most Americans, we discovered that we can now do our jobs from home. So I don't have nobody over my shoulder breathing. I can look at my phone and nobody's telling me shit. Mm-hmm. I can do whatever I want to do. You know what I'm saying? So
that helps. Yeah,
that relieves a lot of stress in itself, right there. Just removing the whole micromanaging component there. So most Americans, you're at work like 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. You know what I mean? If you could lighten somebody's load 40 hours a week at a time, that could put somebody in a much happier space. And then there's a lot of other things you can do to kind of change people's moods, you know, because 2020 has been very depressing.
Already off the rip.
These kids been out here, man, I feel bad.
You know, the wild shit of some of the dope shit that we have seen. We've only seen this shit because of what's going on. Uh-huh. If this virus shit, if this shit would never existed, we would have never seen this funny moment.
Yeah.
Like, Teddy got to know, yo, you just fucked up. That's all. You just fucked up. You still Teddy Roddy.
Right. But
you
now.
You fucked up. You got to get these jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. You just put a little stain on your white shirt.
That's all you did. And it's a moment.
But where?
The culture needed this laugh. Everybody's fucking laughing.
Right.
This where? Moment wouldn't have happened if this whole COVID shit wasn't around.
I love it. I love it. But yeah, that's been the light upside to all of this. You know, prior to this, a lot of these kids was out there sipping perp and falling over and getting robbed. And I don't know. Is there like a curse on young rappers now? Like young unknown rappers? Like, and I don't want to say unknown because I'm older. And I just don't go search for that kind of shit. But, you know, everybody done forgot about Pop Smoke.
Damn.
You know what I mean? And and then let me do it this way.
Well, maybe not.
Who was the kid before Pop Smoke?
Was it in Juice WRLD?
There you go. I didn't think he was going to come with that quick. Yeah.
You sure though?
Yeah, it was Juice WRLD.
Who was before Juice WRLD?
No. But it was, I think, a female too. Was there a female?
Recently, it was a... I think she was like 25. They found her like in her apartment. She OD'd or something like that.
Man.
She kind of used to rap about drugs.
That's bad, man. I don't know. What can get these people that down? Like, is it your... Was your beginnings that messed up? Are you masking something with all of the intoxication and, you know what I'm saying, all the drugs and the alcohol? Are you really trying to hide your pain or... Or are you just putting this on to fit in with what's going on around you so you can be mainstream? I don't know what's going on with the kids, man.
Man, I know. We shouldn't even talk about that, man. I'm going to sound all this fuck, but I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like that whole drug type moody music, isn't that like a thing? I even sound old saying it.
It is a thing.
It's like a type of music. It's a style, if you will, right?
Right, just like mumble rap was a style.
Yeah.
But you got to be really cautious with what you consume.
So if it is somewhat of a style, that type of music, I guess the whole drug rap is a thing, just like on our
just
era.
Just we had the drug sale.
We had the drug sale music in our era.
The seller's music, now it's the user's music.
So we know let me talk about our era because I can speak with more confidence. We know in our era, all these motherfuckers wasn't drug kingpins.
Of course not.
Some were, but most were just rapping about it because it was the thing.
And it was also a push from the labels that we had that really wanted us to imitate the person that's selling the most at the time. Or
so wouldn't you say the same principle?
Or conspiracy theory, they had a hidden agenda. But whatever.
The same principle applied to these young cats now, right? If that whole, this whole drug rock, this whole moody shit that the young boys are on now, if that's a real thing, some are really rapping from real hardship, but some are just doing it because, hey, this is a wave now. So I'm going to make this moody music and I'm going to talk about doing the latest drugs because this is what people fuck with.
Right.
Why?
Well, but the differences would be, I mean, yeah, everybody wasn't a drug kingpin, but they did rap as if they were one. But it seems like in this generation, they actually doing the drugs. They not acting like, you know what I mean, that they not doing drugs. And that's kind of what's leading them to their downfall. Like they actually doing the leans and the perps and Percocets and all that other shit that they, you know, they don't have to do it. I don't know if they pass is that fucked up. I don't, because our pass was fucked up. We didn't have to go take all these damn drugs. You know what I'm saying? But are you influenced by the success of rappers who do take all these drugs that you go and give yourself a problem to be popular?
All right, I kind of misspoke then. So as you say that, since all these new school rappers, they are taking actual drugs and ODing. Now, are they rapping about it too as well? I would say yes, kind of.
Right. I couldn't tell you because I don't really listen to it enough to say. So, but the images portrayed through videos and interviews and all of that, mm-hmm. it would lead me to believe that they actually are ingesting everything that they're talking about plus more.
Everything you're talking about, okay. So, I don't know. That's a good question. So, are they doing it because they're trying to cover up some real hardship that they grew up with?
Or they're just riding a wave.
Or they're riding a wave. And I think that point is what I'm trying to compare to our era shit. Like, although in this era, they're really taking the drugs and they're really dying. But are they taking the drugs because that's the thing to do? Or are they taking the drugs because they come from a fucked up childhood? As in our era, some were really dope boys. Others mm-hmm. were just rapping about it because that was the thing to do.
Yeah. Hmm. I think in our era, though, I think we talked.
Comparison makes
we talk. It does. I mean, we talked a lot about the effects of what taking all those drugs would do to you, long term effects. We had those conversations.
Some, not
in
all.
The neighborhood. We oh, did. We yeah. kind of had them. You know what I'm saying? It was cool to smoke some weed.
You talking about in the music or in the neighborhood?
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood, yeah, but.
Nobody on our records, you know, openly admitted to smoking like cocaine or, you know what I mean, dope.
No, that shit wasn't fly. No, not like that. No, yeah.
Now, do they say that they will put some Chiba in their blunt now do a line? They'll do a line now. They'll do more than a line.
But we had a lot of rap that was fucking damn near glorifying selling drugs and being so hard in the hood and not giving you any solutions, leaving you with, I'm fresh out of jail, I'm the hardest motherfucker.
Yeah, you had to be that motherfucker. And then you had to live, and then you had to, see the problem, and this goes all the way back to what we've been talking about for a minute now. The problem goes back to, I need to see that the proof is in the pudding. I need to see you actually live what you talk about, and that's not what this needs to be.
Like, what do you mean?
Because, like, okay, we had these raps where you had to be the drug kingpin and you had to actually kind of look like you was actually doing it.
Yeah.
And some people probably actually jumped in and started doing it just to uphold that damn image. And that's wrong. Image is nothing. The image is not as important as they think it is. Now, it may have been back in the day when you had a record company trying to influence you, but nowadays... image now is not as important as it used to be. So I'm hoping that they're not trying to keep up with an image and it's leading to their death.
Image now is not important. I don't know.
It's not as important.
Why you say that?
It was only important because you had a record company telling you, we're not going to put your album out if you're not doing this. You don't do that anymore. That's not happening anymore.
But don't you think that image is still important today, but just these young kids don't have a label telling them what their image are. They're being who they are. But everyone still has an image. And they still care about their image. It just, no one's telling them what the image should be. They're doing it on their own now.
That's true. Nobody's telling them, so they're copycatting.
Biting is a rule, you know, if you're going by the rules of hip hop, but man. They're not going by our rules though, man.
Oh man.
See.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
You still hold these young boys up to our rules, and I gave up on that. I don't hold them up to our rules. You know you do, Phil.
I live by those rules, and
we do. Yeah. They don't. Some do, and maybe they will grow into them.
That's true. Some do.
All of them don't. Those rules are antiquated to them.
Yeah, you on some old man shit.
Old man.
We popping with now.
Be original, no biting, have your own style. These are the foundational rules of hip hop.
Right. Now it's
respecting the DJ. It's not about continuing to make music that sound like from the 90s. It's just maintaining the laws of this culture. Go ahead and make your shit.
Right. Just apply the laws.
Just apply the laws.
Right. You can make new shit. You don't have to run away from the principles of it, though.
Not about sounding like us. Not about sounding like RZA or nothing like that.
Nah.
Make your shit.
You want to sound as different as you possibly can. But it still should, you know, be respectable.
Don't got to be super wordy, super lyrical. Just respect the laws. If you want to call it hip hop, or make your shit, make your art. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I'm hip hop to death, and I'm still going to uphold the laws.
SP has just kicked you niggas out of the building. Fuck you niggas. Make your shit. I don't care. Fuck y'all.
As Chris said, the real hip hop is over here.
Yeah.
It's always going to be.
I just want to save everybody. I think we can bring them back in. Some people can be taught. You can be taught. You just probably, you was misguided, misdirected.
Give a fuck. Somebody don't give a fuck. This niggas our age who don't give
a fuck. There was always niggas who didn't give a fuck.
Always.
Because it's profitable. Yes. It's something that, or it looks to be profitable anyway.
No,
it's extremely profitable. We've influenced the whole fucking world. You know what I'm saying? Like, through just basic shit, b-boying,
everything, man.
DJing, graffiti writing,
everything, man.
You know what I'm saying? We influenced the whole motherfucking world.
They had 400, well, this isn't hip-hop, but it's still a part of the culture, black culture, I would say. Which is, you know, a popular American culture. When I looked in that room last night, they had like 400-something thousand people in that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yep. Yeah.
Primo and RZA had 800-something thousand.
Yeah.
It's hip-hop. It's...
Right. They love us, but they hate us. But they love us.
But they hate us.
That's the proof. They love us, though. They love us.
Because we ain't the only
They
one.
Don't want us to live
they
anymore.
And only niggas was in that room.
They don't want us to live anymore, but they love us, though. Stop making shit to target my people, man. That's all I got to say. This has been an amazing episode. Fresh to death.
Fresh to death, huh?
We want to thank our family for rocking with us.
I always hope we do a good job. I really try to be in the moment, not concentrate on what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I never really know what this
shit is. How it's going to come out.
I have no clue.
No, we don't know. And everybody is going to take things a certain way, too. Yeah. You know, for some, we already knew that and we know much more. For others, I never heard of that before. And then some others will be right in pocket with us.
Yeah.
Everything is everything, you know?
Everything is everything.
Just be good to your brother, man. Be good to your sister. And let's just go ahead and inspire everybody to get off the couch and go do something. If you know, grew up to 90s hip hop, you know, chances are you didn't already try to do something before. And you ain't did shit if you ain't failed a few times. Don't be afraid to fail, man. Get out and fly. Go do that shit again. That's how you be fly. Go fly again. And teach others how to fly while you flying. You know what I'm saying? Let's navigate through this. Fresh to Death, season one. We coming to a vacation.
We tying it up, huh?
We coming to a vacation. And we going to sprinkle y'all here and there throughout the vacation. You know what I'm saying?
Trust
let y'all know that.
Shit.
Just let y'all know we ain't forgetting about our family. You know what I'm saying? We right there for you. And we just thank you again for rocking with us. Fresh to Death.
Everything is lovey. Peace and blessing to everyone, man. Thank you for rocking with us. Thank you for all people who gave us a chance. We here.
He said peace and blessings.
Ah.
I love it. Fresh to Death, we out.
90805. TWODEAF.
Learn about it.
Niggas.
Hey, so just wanted to congratulate you again on the podcast. It's really dope, you and your homeboy putting that together. I really like it. My good friend Tiffany and I are actually putting together a visual podcast. It's on Two Black Women, Two Opinions. We're going to just talk about all kind of life stuff. We were just talking about if we should let our colleagues know. We like, nah, because we're going to say some real stuff too. But it was genuine. It was definitely a male perspective, a black man perspective that I've always been curious to kind of know. It was real talk. So it's just good to hear the insight and just to kind of learn more about my older brother, stuff I didn't know. So it like all made sense, like just to kind of hear the way you think and stuff. So I appreciate that, and being so far away from you guys, man, I really miss all of y'all and love y'all. So just to hear your voice, it felt like I was just sitting right next to you listening to you. So it's helped in many ways, but just wanted to shout you out and leave you with that message. I might not be able to chat with you, but I hope you get my message. All right, bye.
This is Fresh to Death Media Production, recorded in Long Beach, California, Northside 90805.